So today we're going to go to the fourth reading. We're going to leave Yisro behind. And we're going to go to Matan Torah. Or at least, the days leading up to it. The 19th chapter of the book of Exodus begins with the words, B'chodesh HaShlishi. It was on the third month. Letzeis B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. On the third month, counting from the Exodus from the land of Egypt, Bayoim Hazeh, on this very day, Bo Midbar Sinai, they arrived at the Sinai Desert, which is a relatively small section of the desert. So Rashi says, it says Bachodesh HaShlishi, in the third month of the Jewish people's going out of Mitzrayim, and then it says Bayoim Hazeh, on this day. But doesn't say which day it is. It just says Bechidah Shashlishi in the third month. So Rashi reasons that because we are told it's the third month, and because it says Bayom Hazen, this very day, Bereish Chedesh, that this is referring to the first day of that month, which is the first day of Sivan. If you count it from Nisan, it's the third month. Now Rashi says the point is that Rosh Chodesh Sivan is also called the day of Chodesh. For example, we have a scripture that says, Machar Chodesh, where David HaMelech and Yehonasan have this conversation of whether Shaul wants to get him or not. So he said, tomorrow is Chodesh, which means Rosh Chodesh. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. L'hoya tzarech lichtev elo bayemahu. It really should have said, Rashi continues on, it should have said bayemahu on that day. Ma bayom hazeh? In other words, Bayomahu would be sufficient for us to know that it's Rosh Chodesh. Because it says Bachodesh HaShlishi. And Bayomahu would be on that day, the day of Chodesh. The day of Chodesh means month. Chodesh also comes from the terminology of Chidush, of novelty. And that's how a month begins, with the renewal of the moon. So here it says, not Bayomahu, but Bayom Hazeh, on this day. Which is rather odd, because it seems dynamic. Bayom Hazeh, this day. This day we're pointing a finger at. So Rashi says, Mahu Bayom Hazeh, that the words of Torah should be fresh, new, and dynamic to you. As if today they had been given. Imagine, if you could, that we all got a message that God sent us a special teaching for today. Special teaching. God revealed something to us that nobody ever knew before. Do you think a single shul would be empty in the whole world? Everybody would pack the shul to hear, what did God say to us today? You want to know what he said today? Look in his Torah. You see what he said today? That's how we have to look at the daily Chumash. A person has to assiduously, so to speak, run to the daily Chumash. What is God telling me today? Today? What are you talking about? This last year, and 2 years ago, and 5 years ago, and 20 years ago, and 30 years ago. No, but Yayim Hazeh. The Rabbi Yisrael speaks to us today. This is now. This is the preparation. This is the verses that are priming us for receiving the Torah. The first lesson we get in the verses that prime us from Matan Torah is this idea of dynamism. The Judaism is not an old document, the Torah is not old ideas, but rather it's fresh, it's new, it's here, it's relevant, it's today, it's now. That's the first idea. The first thing, very first thing we get. The first Rashi on the preparation. In fact, this is virtually the only Rashi on that preparation. Now, Rashi doesn't say anything about Bechidush HaShlishi in the third month. Well, matter of fact, it's the third month. That's not Rashi's job, to give you ideas as to why it might have been the third month. But other Mefarshim take that upon themselves. So for example, the Balei HaTosfos, who analyze the phenomenon and the narrative, they say, well, why was it the third month? And the Torah seems to make a big deal out of it, that was the third month. Oh, you should know, it was the third month of the going. That's when they came to Midbar Sinai. Really? And why was it the third month? Why didn't God give the Torah right away? So the Balei HaTosfos say that when God first took the Jewish people out of Egypt, they were a bludgeoned, beaten, and downtrodden people. Physically ill. They didn't have koyach, they didn't have strength. This was going to be a big deal, Matan Torah. Like Ramban describes it, their bones got shaken up from all the lightning and thunder and the sound of the shofar. They needed koyach, they needed physical strength. They had to have the color come back to their cheeks. That's what he says. He says, lehem hoyd peneihem. Color should rush back to their cheeks. They should be like, look like menschen again. Feel like human again. Took 3 months of convalescing, and then they became like they felt normal again. The Or HaChaim says something similar, but on a very different level. He says, we speak not here about the body, we speak here about the soul. Remember, these are people who are worshipping idols. They had nothing to do with Judaism. They knew, they had up to language they spoke. They funny, had funny clothes. They didn't really know what it meant. And now, for the first time in their life, they're doing something really Jewish. They're eating this Jewish food called miracle matzah and then on the manna. And then they're having Moshe Rabbeinu speak to them every day. They're getting tested all the time. And every test is supposed to bring forth a profusion of new spiritual strength and courage. So the Aruch Chaim says they needed to purify themselves. They needed to build their spirit. And the Aruch Chaim says, that's why it says, B'chedesh HaShlishi Letzeis B'nei Yisrael. Not 3 months after they were in Egypt. If it was as the Balei HaTosfos said, it would be 3 months after being in Egypt. No, it was 3 months after going out. The first action, the first, so to speak, step forward in the direction of purifying, of self-restoration, of neshama rejuvenation was Letzeis. And 3 months after the original first blush in their relationship with God, when they left Mitzrayim, now finally, B'chedesh HaShlishi, they're coming into their own. Now they're ready to receive the Torah. So we have this idea that everybody is prepared and ready, and it's by Yom HaZeh Bo, on this very day they came. Ibn Ezra says, this comes to tell you that there wasn't a very, very distant, was a great distance, but they traveled it like this, very quickly, in their eagerness to be able to receive the Torah. And it was on this day, Chizkuni says, following the longs of the Tesis, that the Jewish people finally reached the equilibrium, the strength, the so to speak, the good health, that they were able to receive the Torah. So now that they're able to receive the Torah, now there's going to be 6 days. Now there's going to be days of preparation. This is Rosh Chodesh. According to most opinions, Torah is given on the sixth day. 6 days after they're fully ready, when you're fully ready, that's when you start to prepare. And that's what the second verse talks about. Vayisu mirefidim. They traveled from Refidim. Vayavoyu midbar Sinai. They came to the Sinai desert. Vayachanu b'midbar. They camped in the desert. And then the verse says, "Vayichan Shom Yisrael neged Dohara." There, the Jewish people camped, corresponding to the mountain. So the obvious question is: the pasuk begins with the words that they traveled, they arrived, and Vayachanu. We have three verbs in a row. Verb one, Vayisu, they traveled. Verb two, Vayavoyu, they arrived. Verb three, Vayachanu, they camped. Same tense; it all fits well. And then, all of a sudden, we have another verb, but this verb is a little off. This verb is vayichan, vayichan sham Yisrael. So what's the difference in vayachanu, they camped, plural, which sounds right, and then the vayichan, he camped, corresponding to the mountain. So Rashi says, vayisu mirfidim lama chutzuch lachzer lofarash mehichan nosu. Why do they have to, why does it have to be repeated again where they traveled from? Halei kvar kosav, it's already been written, shebirfidim hayuchainim. If I want to know the way they were traveling from, I'll simply turn a few pages in the Sefer Torah. I'll look back. I'll see it. It's right there. It says they were in Refidim. I know that's the last place they were. So wherever the last place they were is, that's where they came from. So why do you have to now emphasize where they came from? Like Varkosav, it already says earlier, and this is in the 17th chapter, right in the beginning, that it says Shebrefidim Hayochanim. The last encampment we were told about was the encampment at Refidim. Biyadua Shemisham Nasal. It's understood that that's where they set sail from. That's where they left from. Ela, but rather, the Torah does make a point. Lahakesh nisiyasim refidim lebiyasim b'nasinai. The Torah wants to juxtapose and compare the leaving refidim to arrival at Sinai. How so? Ma biyasim midbar Sinai b'tshuva. Just as they came to Midbar Sinai with a sense of sincerity and contriteness and regret for what happened in the past, and a resolve that it will not be repeated, and that the future will be good and will be loyal and loving to Hashem. So to Afna Siyasim Refidim, this wasn't an epiphany that came to them on the journey. They already left Refidim, filled with regret for their past misbehavior, and betshuva, with a profound resolve that the next day, so to speak, the next epoch, the next journey, would be much different. So they left Refidim already in the right state of mind. Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. In all of the Jewish people's encampments, it's always described in a plural tense, and so it should be. And here, it's singular, vayichan, besides the fact that it seems to be an obvious redundance. So Rashi says, this is to tell you, ki ish echad b'lev echad. Here, they encamped as one person, with a heart beating in perfect unison. Avol, sha'or, kol achanoyes, all of the other camps, b'tarumeis, with kvetching, b'machlekes, with divisiveness. Everybody had his own idea, everybody had their own perspective, nobody was satisfied, nobody was happy, there were always issues. A contentious bunch. Here, they came all united, whole, had coalesced into one nation, operating as if they were a single organism, the single desire, a single focus, which name it was? To receive a Torah. Neged Ahar, corresponding to the mountain, Rosh Hashanah Mizrachi, in the easterly direction. V'chol Malkim Shatam Oitzi Neged, whenever you find the word corresponding, or near, or against, it means Panur L'Mizrach, they're facing east. So they're facing east, and that's where they are in front of the mountain. Now Rashi does not really deal with the fact that it says Vayachanu, and then again Vayichan. Now Rabbeinu Bechaya says that Vayachanu was on the first day. That's when the day they came to Har Sinai, to Midbar Sinai, Vayachanu they camped. Then on the second day, he says, they traveled a little bit closer, and then they camped right in front of the mountain. But that was the second day. And so the first day, they still came with some contention. They still came as individuals. By the time the second day came around, they were all united as one. They came as a single person. Now this Rabbeinu Bechaya is really going to illuminate beautifully in light of the teaching that we're going to study together now. So let's open up the Birim book. Let's go to page Samach Beis. The Rebbe begins with a quote from a famous Gemara, Maseches Shabbos, that deals with the events of Matan Torah. In Tractate Shabbos, page 86b, it says, it goes through the details of exactly when did we arrive, exactly when did we camp, what happened when, and how did we prepare for the events at Matan Torah. That's what the Gemara talks about. So here's a quote from the Gemara. B'Rosh Chodesh Asu L'Midbar Sinai. On Rosh Chodesh, they arrived at Sinai. L'Omer Lohu V'Loi Midi. They did nothing. They said nothing. Mishum Chul Shod Urcha, because they were just knocked out. Too tired. That's what the Gemara says. So besides the fact that we just read a bunch of the Mefarshim, the Bali Atesvis, the Chizkuni, who says they were in a perfect state of strength, now you're telling me they're knocked out. The Rebbe asks a question. This is like astonishing. Yesh L'Tamaya. Hare Yedua Lanu Mi Midrash Chazal. We know from the Midrashim. Ad Kama Aza Hoysa Chukosam Shul Bnei Yisrael. How the powerful yearning of the Jewish people that they experienced at that time during those weeks, like Kabbalah Sater. So much so, Ad Kedei Sfiras Hayomim. So much so they were counting the days. You know, when you're really excited about something, you actually count the days. My daughter Liba counts the days to her birthday. It's like a shtick she is. She makes a calendar, she puts it on. She's excited. She counts the days down. It's a big deal for her. You're really excited about something, you count the days down. So they were counting days. And here they are. They want to know how many days are left to Matan Torah. And now they're a Shchedesh Sivan. They're only 6 days away. Eich Yitochen, how is it possible? This great yearning, this great desire, it's about to materialize. I'm tired. Yeah, we're tired. We can't do anything now. All of a sudden, all of a sudden they got tired of traveling. I need to take a day off. We need to relax. We need to sleep a little. Take a nap. Lazy day. They couldn't hear anything. Not something, a word, an idea. Not nothing. Can't hear. Sorry. The inbox is full. Cannot receive any more emails. We need time to defrag, take it down. It's midi. As the Gemara says, they didn't say anything, nothing. A nothing day. A nothing day? A day with the yearning and desiring, craving, dreaming, aspiring. You finally came, and now we have no koyach. Can't be bothered. Doesn't make any sense. Something? They would want to hear. They didn't ask them to run a marathon. You have to do calisthenics, but talk to us a little. We came. This is the place. This is the place. What's going to happen now? No one even bothered. No, can't bother me. Now. Can't be bothered. The Yesh Levayer, so the Rebbe suggests a radically different interpretation, a brilliant new take in this Gemara, that the Gemara is not speaking about Chosha Shanova Mehaderech HaGashmiyos. The Gemara does not speak about physically being tired. Sha'asu b'nei Yisrael b'refidim l'midbar Sinai, that in this journey from Refidim to Sinai, and as much as Ibn Ezra says, it was a quick journey, that's not what we're talking about. Rather, this is L'derech HaRuchnis. This is the spiritual journey. They were tired. That's the meaning of tired. Sh'b'nei Yisrael hiskadma b'bei Yisrael, the Jewish people had progressed in their spiritual journey on this day in some unique fashion. A unique fashion that seemed to drain them of their strength. Well, what does that mean? So the Rebbe says, a moment later, we have on the pasuk Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Ahar, that the Jewish people encamped. It says Vayichan Lashon Yachid, in the singular tense. About this, our sages say, and this is a famous Mechilta, which is quoted by Rashi. That this encampment, different than all others, was as a single entity, totally united. As we just learned a moment ago, the other encampments were filled with strife and divisiveness. Now, let's point out that matzav ze in your matzav tivi. It's not natural for people to be united. It's not natural for everybody to be on the same page. It's perfectly normal when people are contentious. It's like if somebody's contentious, you don't say, I can't believe you're contentious. If somebody's contentious, you say, oh, it's normal. If somebody's behaving so polite and everybody's on the same page and nobody has any difference of opinions, is something wrong over here? Are you guys Jewish? Like, what's going on over here? Like, well, why aren't you fighting? Why aren't you arguing? Why? How can it be everybody agrees? It's not a normal thing. Ain't they the same Shavuos? We have a Gemara that speaks about Jewish people. And it says like this, two Jews, three opinions. Well, it doesn't Mamash say that, but it says in the Yisrael Shavuos. That's where the idea comes from, that we are very opinionated people. Here we are in Canada, 30 million people. We basically have three political parties. Okay, there's a fourth that has like one mandate, like one seat in the parliament, like barely exists. You know how many political parties we have in Israel? Do the numbers. Over 30. Yeah. They even have a marijuana party. It's crazy. I mean, we have that too, but that's here's half the country. It's a crazy thing. It's a crazy thing. There's a joke they tell, but there's truth to it, where I think President Nixon said to Golda Meir that I'm the president of 250 million people. And she said, yeah, but I'm the prime minister of 3 million prime ministers. So... You don't have to be Jewish. That was the album. So this is all not normal when the Jewish people are suddenly behaving in perfect synchronicity. How did we get to this non-typical, non-predictable state? Kedei lahagia l'matzav bilti tivi, in order to get to this non-typical state, such a non-typical state, shebayim is batlam kol achiluk yedei, so all of our differences are put aside. Forget about it. We have no differences of opinion. Forget fighting. It's not an issue of fighting. At least a difference of opinion. Are you alive? You know, shake him. Hello? Something, an opinion? No opinions, nothing. We have absolutely no differences whatsoever. We are like a single human being, like the right hand doesn't argue with the left hand. We don't argue with each other. No different opinions. This is not a simple thing. For this, we need to have a serious journey. We need to, so to speak, travel in a serious spiritual transformation. How does this spiritual journey look? How does it work? What highway do you take? I'd love to know, huh? Which brings everybody to absolute unity. Maybe we can schedule it on the GPSs. Like, how do you get there? Despite the fact that we have different approaches, and we all have our own attitudes, our own approaches. Yeah, it's all fine. We still be on the same page. So the way to get there is by weakening, by nullifying, by dissolving the superficial details, hamavdilas ben Yehudi yachad lechaveri, which divide us between one another. So, for example, Rama Havana Sichlis. We're divided intellectually. Some of us have high intellects, some of us have mediocre intellects, some of us barely have intellects. There's different levels, right? So different levels, so that divides us automatically. And then some of us are very passionate. Some of us are very, very fervor-filled and emotional about things. And some of us are like ice cubes, cold as a fish, as they say. And this is different. People are different. You have to get drilled down to all, take away all the fracking, you know, get rid of all the superficial stuff, all the intellectual stuff and the emotional stuff, all the differences of personality. If we could get down past all of the external realities that encase the pnimius haneshama, the essence of the Yiddish soul, the nekuda hanimsas b'shava b'chol echad miyisrael. At some core, every single Yiddish haneshama is exactly the same, right? There's the pintaliyah, there's a nuclear essence. That's the essence of the neshama. You can't be more Jewish or less Jewish. You already aren't. That's all. So imagine if we could get to that. V'lachein megalas ha'achdos. If we got there, it would reveal the oneness of pnimius hashereres b'neim, because that is the revelation of the common denominator. If the common denominator shines forth, then that's it. We're exactly the same on that level. This could be like in a non-Torah or spiritual Jewish way. You could say there is an element of humanity. Let's say every human has a will to survive. and the survival instinct, when people are trying to survive, they put the differences aside. Why? Because they have a common goal of survival. Common goal of survival cuts across all the differences when we get down to the core essence, lays bare the essence of the nature. But here we're speaking about on a spiritual level. And the Rebbe suggests that this is the meaning of our sages. They didn't say anything. There was nothing going on. Meaning, the spiritual travel, the road that was traveled on of spirit, that they made on this Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Like Rabbeinu Bechaya says, this was the first, and then it was the second journey. The journey they made on Rosh Chodesh, like Rashi told us, they left Rafidim contrite and tshuva filled, and they arrived in Har Sinai. And the journey they made on that day was such a profound, powerful spiritual upheaval. It was such a revolution, if you will, against the differences and divisiveness, which naturally is a part of who we are, that what happened is, there was krucha, it was connected to chulsha, it was a weakening of our own individuality. We let go of our own individuality for a day. We said, you know what, it doesn't matter how I feel about this. It doesn't matter what my opinion is. What matters is us.
So what did they do specifically?
Actually, nothing. they let go. You know, like sometimes people are having a fight, and they say, what do they need to do? Nothing. Just let go.
So Moshe Rabbeinu said, let go.
They understood it themselves. They had, today was a day to let go. They let go.
It sounds to me like this was a gift from Hashem. That this could not have happened.
It was a little bit. It was a little bit of gift from Hashem, but a little bit. This was the climax of their yearning and their aspiration and their counting down and their hoping. This is where it reached, and that's le'yam v'loy midi. This is like, there's nothing. What? Because this is avodah of bitul atzmi. This is avodah of renunciation of self. This is an avodah of being able to get past ourselves, and this doesn't need speech. Eini dereshes hamida. What does it need? Dereshes shtika. This needs silence. Hamevatas is batlus. The silence which represents the self-negation, the self-abnegation, setting oneself aside. So that's the spiritual meaning of the Gemara. Now the Gemara makes sense. They were in a healthy state. They were in a good state. They were in a state of absolute renunciation of self, in a state in which they were prepared now to leave all the differences behind. Just quiet. Silence.
So Hashem did not negate the Yetzer Hara like when Mashiach comes.
Now you're going from Matan Torah to Mashiach. When Mashiach will come, the Yetzirah will be negated, yes. At some point, the Matan Torah paskazul masim. The Yetzirah did stop functioning at some point. But it doesn't say the Yetzirah stopped, but the focus, the obsessive focus on my opinion, my way, and so on and so forth, that disappeared, that dissolved.
This is even